Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Footy Prime presents a special Canadian Premier League 2024 season preview show featuring combatants from Atletico, Calvary, Forge, Wanderers, Pacific, Valor, Vancouver FC, and York United. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hello there, football fans. It's Footy Prime. This is our CPL season preview in an hour-ish-ish-ish kind of, we hope, but you know how these things happen, right? The plan is to hit all CPL markets ahead of this weekend's season kickoff. 5 minutes for each team only. And they've all been so kind to loan us a real-life footballer to talk to. Amy Walsh was once upon a time a footballer, a long, long time ago. Dubs joins me for the first. A real-life one, yeah. She joins us for the first couple of chats here. But we're going to start with Forge. Why? Because, well, they're the champions, right? Second place last year in the regular season went on. They found themselves, of course, they won another championship, the dynasty of CPL. And to join us and discuss what's happened thus far in preseason, looking ahead to the new season, is defender Garvin Matusala. Garvin, welcome to Footy Prime. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, thank you. Thanks to you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so let's get right to it. Your preseason as a club's been very long. In fact, it's dragged on, of course. Back in February, of course, you played in the Champions Cup against Chivas Guadalajara. Yep. Is that an advantage or is it also a bit of a challenge?
I'd say it's a bit of both. It's a bit of a challenge because we start early. So we've started in January and most teams start in the end of February or beginning of March. So we've basically had 2 months of football extra compared to the other teams. But I would say it's an advantage because we've been keeping a high level of fitness for the past 2 months. So it's a bit of both sides.
And then getting down to the really important stuff, who has the best style between Bobby Smyrniadis and Kit Celadopoulos? I'm not talking training kit. I'm talking like street style when you guys go to dinner on the road or something.
I'll give it to Kit because Kit is from Montreal. So we're from the same city, so I'm gonna support him.
Well done. Good man.
Hey, Kit just got a promotion. I just saw it came down now. Director of youth football, I believe. So obviously, Forge, you know, looking, taking a lot of attention towards the future as well, even though, of course, the past has been successful, but the present, obviously, very successful as well. There's been, you know, the usual new faces coming in every year, but it's a pretty familiar-looking team once again here. Garvin, how would you say it rates compared to previous editions of Forge?
Oh, it's a bit of we have different new players, like you said, but there's the good thing is we have a good core, and the core has been like the same. So we have players that have been there for since the first year, like David Tronier, Becker, Borges, other players that have been there, Dominic Samuel, that have been there since the first year. So I think even if we lose players, the good thing is that the main core of the squad, it stays the same. So when new players come in, like they know how to adjust and to get our style of play and stuff like that. So we try to make them as comfortable as possible from the get-go so that they can follow our plan, our game plan, and our mentality. So I'd say it's a bit different this year, but since we've lost a bit more players. But like I said, since the core is a bit the same, we've got players that have been there for more than 3-4 years, it hasn't been really different.
And Garvin, you've been with Forge since 2021. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, so you must fit into that veteran category yourself. So how do you find that balance? Like, who are you learning from on the team, or who do you model your game after as a center back? And then is there somebody on the team in particular that looks to you as a mentor, and how important do you think that is for you in your role?
Like you said, I've been here for 4 years, so now I've got a bit like of more experience, especially 4 years in this league, so I've got a bit more experience. So one coach that I'm really looking up to is David Edgar. So he's played at the highest level in Premier League, and he played my position. So since my first year, since I've met him as a coach, I've tried to learn a lot of stuff from him. And I think he's been the one who helped me the most with like my positioning and like with sharing me his ideas on how to play as a center back. And I would say that I'm always trying to help like the younger players, like Obulabi, Belewu, players like that. Even the players that are out of position, that are maybe the players that play like right back or six, because it's a position that I played in the past. So maybe players like Kadeem Kane, that's from Montreal. So I try to give them advice and try to always like help them to get better, and because I was in the same position as them in the past, so I know that this is really important, getting like support from an older guy. So that's why I'm trying to spread like positivity around.
Older guy,
back to Bobby here.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Jesus. And Eddie, he's a few years older now, isn't he? I mean, I think I saw his first goal for Burnley back in the day. Yeah. Right, that beauty, wasn't it? I mean, that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. That's now aging me now. Back to Bobby. Are you surprised Bobby's still coach? Because there were so many rumors this offseason about, you know, Canada sniffing around. You know, what is the next move for Bob Smyrniotis? As players, are you surprised he's still there?
Sometimes, so we have discussion as players, and we are like, yeah, for sure, he might leave this year or some stuff like that. But I guess it's not as well a surprise, because that means he's enjoying it. He's enjoying winning the league, winning the CPL. Maybe he's enjoying just being at Forge. So. We don't know. I'm pretty sure he could coach at a higher level for sure. But maybe it's just not the time. But we'll see in the future. Maybe we'll see him at the rumor said in the past.
Yeah, I think it could well happen. Listen, Garvin, I want to get you back on the show at some point, because you've got a really interesting story as well. Yeah. You play for Haiti too, mm-hmm. which I think will be a fascinating round to get into. So we're going to get you back on Footy Prime at some point. But thank you so much for this. Good luck this season. Yeah. And as you defend it once again.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Merci, Garvin.
That's Garvin. Garvin Matusa. Go ahead, Dubs. Go ahead, speak to your friends. Close it off.
À la prochaine.
À la prochaine. Merci beaucoup.
Moving on now to, Ottawa. Yeah. Ottawa. Bit of an off-season. Ottawa. People are saying it's the best off-season in CPL history. The GOAT of off-seasons. I don't know. That's what people are saying anyway right now. I know that the coaches and the ownership aren't happy with those accolades, but we'll take it, Dubs, won't we? We're joined by a friend of Footy Prime. He's a veteran at this point. He's been on a number of occasions. It's goalkeeper Nate Ingham. Hey, Nate, welcome back to Footy Prime. I'm happy that you returned.
Thanks. I thought you guys lost my number because it had been a while, but pleasant to be back.
All right, listen. So you heard what I just said there, you know. What an off-season that the players you brought in, Manny Aprecio, Balotelli, Abbas Asoko, and more. I mean, I suspect that you're happy, as a man of the gloves, that Amir Didic and Luke Singh are here as well in Ottawa. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, more than fair to say. You know, I was the first one to be announced coming back next year. No one was saying off-season of a lifetime then. So, you know, I feel forgotten, but... we've just brought in, signing after signing, and luckily I knew about a couple beforehand, so I was surprised by a couple. I don't know how front office pulled it off, but they killed it. They did their job, and we're all now excited just to try and do ours.
What kind of goals have you set for yourself, Nate, this year? I mean, you've had a pretty strong career already, but you know, where have you set the bar for yourself as an individual, but also from collectively for from a team standpoint?
Yeah, I've set a lot of goals. Again, same every year. You know, play, don't miss practice, don't miss games, stay healthy, be someone the team can rely on, the guys can rely on, front office can rely on. I've spent a lot of time working on my leadership in the off season, you know, a lot of reading, obviously taking on a second job where I'm in a role of leadership, been learning a lot in that regard. And I'm hoping I can take some pressure off guys this year, just by, kind of being the rock behind them. But also reminding them in bad moments, you know, we'll have to take it situation at a time, but it's going to be more towards that leadership stuff. Starting with the home opener, right? There's a lot of pressure on the guys already. There's a lot of pressure on the team already. You know, I want those young guys, even the new players that are experienced, enjoy the day. You know, leave it to the returners to, you know, do the dirty work. I know we're not going to see the best version of Atletico Ottawa our first day. We just got together. I know I'm not going to see the best version of every player on that day. Don't worry about it. Just stick together, do our job. I'll make saves when you need me to. And then when we get into playoffs and later in the season, that's when you're going to see the best version of us.
I mean, you also have competition, right, between the posts. Ryan Yesley comes in, obviously a proven goalkeeper as well. Is that something that you like, having someone strong behind you?
Yeah, yeah. We need I need it personally, but I think everyone does. We rely on each other so heavily in training. That you want the best around you. We have a young kid that's actually quite good with us as well in our development program. So the three of us have been putting together good sessions. The Borja, our goalkeeper coach, just came up to us after the session today, just telling us how much he's enjoying it. And that's the mood you want at training, right? It's a lot of fun. I don't have enough good things to say about Rye. He's a really intelligent guy, good goalkeeper, you know, speaks a handful of languages, you know, he's great. So competition's good, and we need a deep team. Everyone needs a deep team in this league. If you want to be contenders in the league and in the cup, and you know, no one's done the double, that's got to be a depth thing. You have to be able to do it for 30 games, and then you have to be able to get into playoffs and keep going. So we're building a team to do all of that and then get ready for Champions League.
Bit of a two-parter here, Nate Ingham. When Jimmy Brennan says Atletico Ottawa, how irritated do you get? That's the first question.
I mean, he's a small town. He's an up North York guy, just like me. So, listen, we're not very cultured. We're learning as we go, and he's doing his best, and we can all appreciate him for that.
Okay, give Jimmy a pat in the back. Say, keep going, Jimmy. You'll get it one day.
Yeah. We believe in you.
And the second part, because we know you alluded to it, your second job working in the restaurant business in that industry. So this is maybe the tougher of the two questions. If you were a wine, given your profile as a goalkeeper, what kind of wine would you be?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I'd be elegant. I'd be like drinking. I like summer, so maybe a white wine. I'd do like a, you know, something a little fruity and tart. And we'll do like a Sancerre from France.
Oh, very nice. So
that's a pretty good answer, that is. I like that. Is there one teammate that you can actually have a conversation about wine with, like a genuine conversation?
Yeah, honest to God, I can have a conversation with wine about anyone. I don't care what your level is. There's always things to be said, and I enjoy it. Sometimes I'm sure I bore people with it, but it's just getting on whatever level they are, and if they can learn a tiny little bit, it's great.
Well, Nate's having a conversation with us, Sharm, so it's clear that you can have that conversation with anybody, because we don't know anything.
We're a screw top kind of
box. Nothing wrong with it. Get it out of a bag.
Yeah, you know what? McManus is screw top, actually, I believe, and that's my go-to these days. Anyway, it may be the last time we spoke, actually, as well. So.
Yeah. A man, a simple man.
Hey, Nate just called you a simpleton.
I know. And me and Jimmy hang out a lot, right? So, you know, that explains so much.
You can drink wine and work on your pronunciation.
You're simple, not because it's wine, but because the last 8 months it's been the same wine.
Yeah, it has been. 5 minutes is up, I'm afraid. We'll be back on the show, Will. We're going to make a trip out to Ottawa at some point as well. We're going to do
tell Warner, if I find out he comes to Ottawa and doesn't text me again, he's dead to me.
He was dead last week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I believe that he was.
But I'd be willing to cut him out of my life if he stands me up again.
We know he's listening, so you hear that, Wonga. Yeah. You better text Nate.
Yeah, you have to. Right.
Amy, how'd you get so lucky today?
Pardon me?
How'd you get so lucky? How'd you get the Ottawa gig?
I picked you. I mean, you know the other pros that we're working with. We had a task, and it was put your name next to some CPL players, and I saw your name, and I was right there.
I absolutely love that.
You're my favorite.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And he's going much better with you, let's be honest.
Yes, Nate.
It won't surprise you to know that I said, listen, guys, please, here's the list of players. Please put your name beside one of them or two of them, please. Dubs did it within about 5 minutes. I'm still waiting for the other to do it. All right, and we record. Yeah, so they're just useless. That's but we'll muscle through this summer. Listen, good luck this weekend. Good luck on the season, Nate. We'll speak to you real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys as always, and keep up the good work.
That's Atletico Ottawa's Nate Ingham. All right, next up is to York. Yes, York coming off a decent season into the playoffs once again. Craig Forrest also joins us. Hey, Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome back, Sharms, from your little wee holiday.
Yeah, I feel rejuvenated and ready for this, and for the CPL, of course. Now, York have very, very generously donated to us a forward. Austin Ritchie joins us, who right now really wants to watch Man City against Real Madrid, as do we. So he won't be long, I promise. But Austin, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, so let's talk about this team right now. Progress last season, of course, into the playoffs. New owners now, new faces this season. Does it feel like a brand new club this season?
Yeah, there's a bit of a different feel to the club. New owners, new people in charge, bit of a new philosophy, and a bunch of new faces, right? So there was a decent amount of new incoming players, a decent amount of key guys leaving from last year. So overall, yeah, different feel to start things off, but starts this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
And for yourself, Austin, I mean, it's been a really difficult, really last 12, 13 months for you with your knee problems, your knee surgery. How are things going with that? Because I understand you've had a really solid preseason. You feeling confident about your physical being at the moment and moving forward to this season? Do you think you can stay healthy?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, it's more than 12 months. It's about 26 months. I actually had two surgeries back to back. So, yeah, it's been a tough. This is my first preseason in 3 years. So the last full preseason I had, season came out to a really good start. I was personally playing very well. And then, unfortunately, I had the knee injury. But body feels great right now. Feel super fit. I've had over a year now to kind of get myself back into the swing of things. But yeah, everything feels solid right now.
And how difficult was the rehabilitation, Austin?
It's tough mentally, physically. You know what? I try to compare it to this. If I told you to do anything for 9-10 months straight, and then as soon as you finished it, I said, okay, now do it again. It sucks. Whether that's folding clothes, or that's whatever, any task in the world. So let alone learning how to walk and learning how to do simple movements again, it was tough. But I think I came out better on the end of it.
So Ricardo Pascal arrives, part of the new ownership, of course, and the GM, really visible. He's so positive and so effusive talking about not just this club, but Canadian soccer in general. Does that resonate through the team?
Yeah, it's good. He's always around the lads, right? So he's in at trainings every day. He's we just went to Mexico for preseason. He was there with us. He's always ready to give us a positive motivational speech, and he's really excited and positive about the upcoming season. So it's good. He's it's definitely been a good impact.
I ask you about a former teammate of mine, Martin Nash, obviously the head coach there. I've never seen Martin. I don't think I've ever seen him really mad before. Angry. Has he ever been angry in the dressing room out to you guys? And how angry is that?
I could probably count it on one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few times.
Was he throwing stuff around?
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll chuck something across the locker room, but, it takes a bit to actually get him super angry. So.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, there's obviously quite a few Canadians on this team right now. You players this season as well, with Juan Cordova, Frank Stirring arrives as well, but also some new international faces as well. How are they adapting to life in Canada?
They're good, right? They have really good living scenarios and situations, so they're comfortable. They're new to the country, obviously, but the teammates and guys they're living with and roommates, they've tried to do a good job of kind of showing them around, letting them experience different things within the city and restaurants and whatnot. So I think they're settling in well, and I think that's going to translate onto the pitch.
You've been around the league now for a few years. I mean, you know, take away the pandemic and the island games and whatnot. What is the biggest thing that you've seen in the league that has improved over the last few years?
I think the quality on the field is actually one of the main things that's improving. Obviously, I think there's really good media coverage, and the way things are portrayed and shown are good. But I think the level is slowly rising every year. There's a bit more and more quality. You could see with the quality of goals, the quality of play, the tightness of the table. Now it's an actual playoff race, whereas it's not a few teams pulling away and then one or two teams battling. Like towards the end of the last few games of the season, the title is rarely won, you know? So it's good from top to bottom that it's competitive and the level is just increasing year after year.
All right, one more cue for you. We asked some pretty stupid questions as well, right? So here's your stupid question. Which teammate is most likely to kiss up to the new owners?
Oof. You know what? I'll give that to one of our new guys, Juan. Maybe it's the language barrier, but who knows?
Is that Juan Cordova? Yeah. That one or a different one? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. A little bit amazing to get a new boy integrated into the culture of the team, right?
For sure,
listen,
yeah.
Austin, thank you so much for this, mate. Good luck this season, but this weekend, and stay healthy.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, guys, again.
Cheers, Austin Ricci of York United FC. Vancouver, the sophomores in CPL, of course, coming off an impressive first season. I think play well at times, a learning experience too. We're joined by goalkeeper Callum Irving. Callum, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I think it was last season, I think it was you that said that as a new team, you're playing with less pressure, which can be an advantage. Well, now you're obviously a year in. Does it feel different this season?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think not only on the field, but off the field, it's just everybody had a chance to prepare properly for the season that's coming. Whereas last year, it was just a mad rush trying to get a stadium up, support staff in, like everything. And I think, you know, you try not to feel it when you're playing, but ultimately it has an effect on all parts of the club. So I think this year there's definitely more pressure because I think the support that the club has given us as players is just, you know, another step up from last year. And I think the squad that we've built is also capable of doing really good things. So, yeah, with quality comes pressure for sure.
As a club, do you guys talk about, you know, your goals and what you want to actually achieve this year? I mean, obviously everybody wants to win the title, but is that something that you think you're capable of doing this season?
Yeah, I think probably every team comes into preseason and is talking about winning the championship, right? And that's no different for us. That's what we want. We want to compete in the Canadian Championship as well. We want to go as far as we can and try and win that, be the first CPL team to do it. And I think you need to have ambitions like that, right? If you don't believe you can do it yourself, then nobody's going to believe it for you. And so we try and have that mentality. I truly believe in my experience in the league that this roster we've built has the quality to win. And then you just have to be able to navigate all the ups and downs and the travel and everything that comes with playing in this league. So, yeah, we have those goals. We've set them out for ourselves, and I feel confident that we can definitely achieve them.
One thing about last year, Callum, was, you know, obviously, as expected, a lot of roster upheaval during the season as well. Is having more stability for this campaign crucial, do you think, to get that next step?
Yeah, 100%. Instability within a squad, you know, popping new guys in all the time, even if they're quality players, is just difficult because, you know, you have to adjust to a way of training, a way of playing. A lot of people see what happens on the Saturday, but what's more important, I think, is what happens throughout the week. And that can take a lot for a new guy to adjust to, whether they're coming from out of the country, in the country, within the league, it doesn't matter. It's just new surroundings are new surroundings. So I think for us, we built a really strong squad, and hopefully one that I think, you know, will take us through the whole way in the season and allow guys to kind of grow into their roles. You know, not everybody is gonna start on day one, but I think you'll see probably a slightly different 11 for the last game of the season than you will in the first, and I think that'll be a good thing.
And yourself, Kellen, going way back, I mean, you've been around for some time now, but you had a really good university career, and not everybody gets that opportunity, but the ones that do certainly talk about the experience being one of the highlights of their careers. Is that the same with you at the University of Kentucky?
Yeah, definitely. It's a pathway that was kind of, you know, always gets talked about when you're a young Canadian because, you know, the professional route can be seen as a really difficult route to take. And so, you know, you always have in the back of your mind, maybe, you know, you go play college soccer in Canada or the US. But for me, I didn't think about it until, you know, about 4 months before I was heading down to Kentucky for my freshman year. And things just happened like that. And all of a sudden you're there. And originally I thought, you know, I'll play one season as a freshman. I'll win every award possible. I'll do so well. And then I'll sign a homegrown contract, right? That's like that's how you think when you're 18 years old. You just have this perfect plan and it just never works like that. But for me, I think it couldn't have gone any better in terms of 3.5 years of just growth on and off the field for me as a person and as a player. So it's an invaluable experience. I met so many great people. And I also now have a degree in my back pocket, which, you know, is always a nice thing to have. And I think a lot of kids would benefit from taking that route for sure. I think it grows you a lot all over the place.
Yeah, and, you know, quite honestly, I always, if somebody ever asked me, parents asked me, which the best route would it be, I would always say university. If you can get a full ride, I mean, if you get that opportunity, don't hesitate, take it. Yep. And then if you want to keep playing after, this is what the CPL is awesome for, that you can keep playing in your career and also potentially play in your hometown like you are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, I didn't know what that path was going to be post college, but after going there, I have the same opinion, you know, and any time I'm on a professional team and you have a young guy coming to train, if they have an opportunity to go to school, I always recommend it to them, knowing that, you know, the professional route will remain. But college is only there for, you know, you might only get a scholarship when you're 18, 19 years old. So, for me, great experience. I couldn't speak any higher of the coaches, the support staff, the school itself. It's just, it was a really, really fun experience for sure.
What is it about Canada and goalkeepers, Callum? You know, we seem to produce good ones on a regular basis, too, right now. Talking. I mean, any secret elixir?
Watching guys like Craig on TV when you're younger probably has somewhat of an influence. I mean, I'm not 6'5", but still seeing a Canadian play for Ipswich in the Premier League when I turn on the TV on Saturdays was pretty special. That definitely, I think, probably has an influence on the younger generation. Yeah, and I don't know. I think goalkeeping is such a unique position. It takes a whole lot of different skills into account. And I think, you know, for players, there's certain learning you need to have. But as goalkeepers, if you can keep the ball out of the net and you have that as a main skill, I think that'll catch the eye of a lot of people. In Canada, people are pretty, you know, hardworking. And I think that goes hand in hand as well with the ideals of a goalkeeper. You kind of got to do the job a lot of people don't really want to do. But for some reason, we all really want to do it. It's all I think about in the offseason is catching balls. Like, it doesn't really make sense to me. I don't think anybody in my life gets it except for my dad. But, it's hard to explain.
It is. See, Sharms, you have no idea what we go through.
I was a goalkeeper at 11 years of age. I get it, you know? I get it.
Yeah, you weren't at 12 years of age, though, were you? You stopped at 11.
No, I wasn't, exactly. I figured it out by then. Why would I do this? Yeah. Listen, good luck. Keep catching balls this season, Kellen. I'm watching you with great interest. We'll be back on the show for sure. Good luck this weekend and throughout the campaign.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for having us. Coming on. Brilliant.
Yeah. See you guys.
Cheers, pal.
Thanks, Kellen.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Jimmy Brennan shows up finally. Jimmy, hey, welcome. You all right?
No, I'm good. I'm happy we got him on.
Yeah.
I'm happy we got Charlie.
We haven't introduced him yet. No, we haven't introduced him yet.
Introduce him.
Yeah, you've been on for 10 seconds and you've messed it up already.
No.
Jesus Christ. It's time we're talking cavalry now, okay?
Normally, I should be starstruck. You shouldn't be nervous around me, Jimmy. It's all right.
That's what it is. Exactly what it is, Charlie. Yeah, listen, we're talking cavalry now. And, you know, that voice you hear is Charlie Trafford. Cavalry were just great last year, just smashed it in the regular season. And then, I don't want to remind you, but obviously, tough way to go out in the end in that crazy weekend in Hamilton, of course, Charlie. But let's start things off, though. What is the mood starting this season? Is it like, yeah, we were great last year? Or is it, man, that was a tough way to lose in the end?
A little bit of both, I think. You know, I think as someone who played in Europe and with watching European football, you know, you put a huge kind of emphasis on the league. So for us, winning the league is such a special thing and it's such a cool thing to do. And obviously with this year finally being more recognized and the chance at CONCACAF and everything like that, we knew there was a huge emphasis on that. So that was one of our big targets. So we, of course, leave with our heads held high and very proud of how we did that. We knew that to do it over 28 games is so hard to do. At the same time, obviously in the North American way, the emphasis on the playoffs, and obviously now we're starting to get a reputation of, or Forge have such a good reputation in it, and we need to start to back up ours. So there's definitely that bittersweetness and frustration on how it went. I still like baffled at how we ended up turning that game around and losing it. So I think it's mixed emotions. Obviously there's a bit of that want for revenge and to do it again and go back to there and get our first playoff win. On the other hand, we know we want to go and defend our title and come back and get back into CONCACAF and have another run at that as well.
Yeah. How was that experience playing in CONCACAF for you?
So cool. Of course, it's not, you dream as a kid to play in the Champions League. And so I'm marking it on my resume that I played in it with a little asterisk beside it, I guess, but, It's
no, you played in it, bro. You played in it.
Yeah. So, no, it was so cool. I think it's such an unbelievable thing for the club to grow. It's great for the league. It's starting to, you know, you're putting yourself up against that kind of competition. It was cool. Obviously, the results were not how we wanted, but we felt that we proved ourselves and we decided that we want to be able to be there. And now I think with a bit of experience and that know-how throughout the team, it's, we think we can go back there. I think it was a huge thing for the whole team. And there's a lot of players who've not gone to that level or not gone into games like that. And so I think it was a pretty cool experience for the entire club. And it'll be a huge learning curve, I think. I think there's a lot of young guys coming through, players who've only played in North America. And so I think it's a special thing for the team. And it will help us a lot this year, that experience and know how to win games and being ruthless and that sort of thing. So as a whole, it's such an unbelievable experience. It's such a funny one, though, like a month into our preseason where we build up to a Champions League game. And then all of a sudden, now you have the next 2 months off trying to kind of re-get focus for the season. So it's a funny one. And playing it outside of Calgary as well, our home game, there's a lot of things you wish would have gone a little bit differently. But as a whole, what a cool experience.
So now, Charlie Trafford, let's find out a little bit more about you. You had a great season. I love the way that you play. You play on the edge. You got that little bit of bite about you in the game. And let's be honest, you're a shit disturber. You wind people up. You winded me up when I'm commentating the games. Well, tell me now, throughout the league, who's the one player that you play against going, I love playing against this guy because I can get the hook in his mouth and I can get him all wound up?
You love playing against, obviously we have such a good rivalry with Forge, and it's always fun to, you know, it's such a good battle to go against that, and like of guys like Becker who are viewed as like the top players in the league. So it's always fun to go and go toe to toe with that and kind of mix it up. The York boys are always they're always up for a scrap, so it's always fun to antagonize them a little bit. Who gets going? The Pacific boys, we always, again, Pacific and the Mannies and that, who's another player who plays on the edge, you know, and so he's been sent off in a few of our games as well. So no, there's a few, you know. I don't want to get a reputation for this. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Way to go, Jesus.
No, but I love it. I love watching him play because I'm always thinking, okay, who's he winding up now? Someone's going to have a little bite here.
But I think it's important though, right? Right? It's important though. Leagues need personalities, right? And it's so important that a young league has this. You played in Finland. You played in Poland, Scotland, obviously. You know, Cali Thistle, the Ackies. I mean, how would you compare the CPL at this point to those, you know, established footballing nations?
The level's catching up. Again, you're seeing guys like Vic go over and play in Vic Latourie, play in the Scottish Prem, you know. So there's lots of – it's growing fast. We need to get it more depth throughout the teams and more kind of consistency. But as a whole, like, it's such a cool league right now, and it's fun at this point in my career to be a part of something that's going in this direction. Anything you can be a part of that's growing and has potential growth and that sort of thing. It's exciting. You can, again, in Calgary, we feel it, like the fans growing every year, the atmosphere around it, what's happening in the city. So I think it's so special as that. And then, like, now, like I said, you're seeing boys go to the MLS, you're seeing boys go over to Europe. You know, it's doing, the league is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's becoming more and more exciting. We're adding more and more quality, and we're helping move Canadian players on. So I think as a whole, like, I know it's not perfect yet, and it takes time. You look how long the MLS took to really get going. All these leagues around the world that have been around for decades and decades and decades. It takes time, and I hope that, like, the financial side behind it and all that can kind of catch up and make sense. But as a whole, it's such an exciting league. It's, like I said, it's doing what it's meant to be doing, and it needs to continue to grow and get a bit and keep that stability. But it's I think it's exciting. I think, again, I love watching it. I know everyone in the city who I speak to around Calgary they're so excited about it. They can't believe how cool it is. So I think it's going in the right direction. You hope the back end of things is as well, but yeah, the league's here for a reason, and it needs to continue to grow.
Got time for one more question. Got to ask you. So, Jimmy, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, sir. How are you enjoying playing that role now? You went to Europe as a young man. You've come back older, more experienced, mature. How are you enjoying playing that double role now, where on the pitch you got to show what you can do, but at the same time you got to help out in the dressing room, help with these younger Canadian players that do have a bright future ahead of them?
Yeah, it's a funny one. It takes time to shift that mentality where before, you know, as a player, you're fighting for your life in Europe. You know how it is. You're fighting for paycheck. You want to pay mortgages. You're doing this. You're fighting against people who are competing like that. And now all of a sudden you want to switch your mentality to how can you nurture these guys and how can you push them on to go in and do that without taking your job just too quickly, I guess. But I love it. For me, it's so fun. Again, I have such a long relationship with Tommy and the city here. So it's such a cool thing to grow something in your own city, to be around it, and then to see players again like Vic Latourie kick on to bigger things, be getting in the national team, the Dominic Zatoris guys who I've grown up with, and see them kind of progressing in their careers and have a chance with it. It's special for Canadian soccer. I'm sure you love to see it, and it's growing the game here. Our national team is obviously, there's obviously not the best moments and stuff, but there's excitement around it. The World Cup coming, the league here. So I think it's a very cool time to be around Canadian soccer and hear it, see it grow and what's happening.
One more question for you. Out of Finland, Poland, and Scotland, which had the best food?
Not Scotland.
Not Scotland.
I say that as an Englishman, right? Yeah, so I can appreciate the stereotypes. Just I don't think of any of those countries as being renowned for their food, but please educate me.
Yeah, none are, I would say. it's like a debate for the bottoms here. Maybe Poland's very underrated. It's come a long way, but it's obviously very inexpensive food, but also like a pretty cool culinary scene and more in Europe, I guess. But all three, I guess, like you said, not thriving in the culinary scene.
Charlie, listen, you're in the right place now, though, certainly for better cuisine. Listen, Charlie, thank you so much for this. Good luck this weekend and good luck for the season. We get back on the show for more than 5 minutes at some point, I hope.
I'd love to be. Like I said, it's an honor to be here, watch you guys growing up. So it's pretty cool and special to come full circle and get to do this. So I appreciate you guys having me out.
Cheers, thank Charlie. You.
Legends. All right, have a good one. Thanks,
Charlie man. Trafford. All right, time now for Pacific. Pacific, yeah. Yes, 40 points last year, fourth place. Dario Zanata.
Yes,
Dario, we were just speaking to Trafford, your boy there from Cavalry, who said
yes,
hi.
Yes.
Obviously, your paths crossed in Scotland, right? I imagine.
Yes, we did, right. Yeah.
Well, he was great.
It was nice to play against him, and nice to see he's back over here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, listen, he was great. So, big shoes to fill. No pressure, though.
No pressure.
Let me ask you about, looking ahead to this season, right? A deep playoff run last year. Obviously, some important pieces have been lost this season, but new players have come in. What is the general feeling at the club ahead of kickoff?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited. You know what I mean? As you said, they came fourth and a little bit unlucky in the playoffs from what I saw and how it all went, And hearing from the boys and everything like that, I feel as if they thought they could have done a little bit better last year. They were top of the league for good portions of it. As you said, we've lost a few boys, but I feel as if the guys that we've added, myself included, and all the other boys are keen to prove themselves and are really excited for, of course, this weekend and the season coming.
So tell us about yourself as well. You went over to Scotland. You went to Hearts in 2015. You were there, almost 9 years playing in Scotland.
Yeah.
How did this come about? How did the interest get to you where you went, I fancy going back to the CPL?
Yeah. So I moved over as a kid, basically. Got a lot of experience over there. I really enjoyed my time. But I felt almost my course has been run. It was coming to the point where I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to. I was, and I was looking for like a fresh start. James, the manager here, we had spoken in prior summers. You know what I mean? He's like, always thought, oh, do you want to come back? Do you want to come back? And I wasn't ready. I didn't feel at the time to come back. You know what I mean? I was enjoying Europe, and then came January there, and they came in contact, and I thought, you know what? I feel as if the league's developing, the league's growing, and I want to be a part of that. You know what I mean? Victoria have always done, they've been competitive. You know what I mean? They've won the cup. They've been up there. So I thought this is a good opportunity for me to come back, get my foot back in the door, and prove what I can do over here.
And of course, coming from though a football nation, right, a hotbed for football in Scotland, no matter how successful or unsuccessful they've been on the world stage in recent years, that is a football culture there. And they come back home to Canada, right? I mean, obviously, there's an adjustment there. We're getting there. It's a growth phase for Canada, which is very exciting, too. Is that part of the allure as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, as you say, Scotland, football's huge over it. You know what I mean? Everyone watches it. Everyone plays. Everyone wants to be a footballer. You know what I mean? There's so to come back here where there's a lot less teams for preseason games. I was telling all the boys, I'm used to playing 10 different teams in preseason because there's 42 professional teams over there, right? So we're a little less privileged in being over here and everything like that. But it's something that as we're in the World Cup, Scotland wasn't in the World Cup. You know what I mean? So Canada's really, really growing in that sense. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Canadian footballer.
So after 9 years, you've got to have some banter being in that Scottish dressing room at all those clubs.
Yeah.
So what can the fans expect to see from you on the pitch? And what are the players getting out of you in the dressing room?
Scottish. I don't think Scottish dressing rooms are. There's not many better from what I've heard. You know, I mean, everyone's lively. Everyone's like that. So, but the fans can expect a player that's. I like to be exciting. You know, what I mean, I like to create chances, score goals, be involved in good football. You know, what I mean, I'm here. I don't think many people have seen me over here because the last time I was playing here, I was a 17-year-old boy, whatever it was. So I'm excited to be back here and to show the fans that I'm here to score goals, set up goals, and be excited and get them off their feet, So I'm really excited for it.
You know, I've been stalking you on social media. Darts. Perfect. Talk about darts, okay?
Darts,
you like darts.
Yeah.
Jimmy, love too, it. Loves darts. I love darts as well. Mm-hmm. Are you a Luke Littler fan? Or is he a bit of a big time Charlie in the making here?
No. I was so obviously like he broke through in for the World Championships this year, and my parents were over at the time, so we watched every single game in the World Championships this year, and he's the real deal, it seems like. So one of my first questions to the boys over here is there a dartboard in the change room? Because that's like that's so common over in Scotland. So I have my own set and everything like that. So I'm picking away. I'll get a board up. Yeah.
Dario, let me tell you something. I'm not one to brag.
Here we go.
He is. In my local Newmarket Aurora League,
yeah.
I'm the Division II champion. Just have
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
No, it's, well, his team is.
You come to Victoria and we'll get a game, okay? I'll hold you to it.
That's a deal.
We want to actually head out and see, you know, a lot of the grounds this year. Mm-hmm. That's the plan, right? We hope to come into Calgary at some point. Jimmy will bring his darts. We will find a board. And we just won't sit on games here.
Yeah, good. Looking forward to it.
Check baggage for sure. Check baggage.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I learned that the first time I came back. I had my darts in my carry on, and I had to get rid of them because they obviously you can't take it through. I wasn't even thinking about it. Right. So check baggage. There you go.
That's hilarious. Listen, Dario, thanks so much. We'll get you back on the show, and we'll talk for more than 5 minutes. But thanks so much. Good luck this weekend, and good luck for the whole season.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, guys, honestly.
All the best.
Thank you.
Cavalry's Dario Zanata. Moving on now, we are flying through these teams, Jimmy. At least that's how it feels this end. We'll see how it feels when we re-listen, but they've been great so far. We're heading now to Valor. Valor. Hey,
sorry, Charms. Charms, we think it's been great. The players are going to talk after, and they might say it's terrible.
Yeah, we might be burning bridges here. It's quite possible. Right? But, hey, listen, any press is good press. That's what I say in sports. We're with Valor now, coming off, obviously, a pretty tough campaign, but a brand-new-looking team. So many, I think 11 new players, including this guest, Zach Secunda. Zach, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so listen, you're no stranger to CPL, obviously. Why did you choose Valor for this season?
To be honest, I'd been in touch with Phil for a while. I thought that the project was interesting, and I thought there was a lot going for the club other than, you know, just right now it seemed like the results hadn't been going in their favor. But other than that, I think they had a really good setup and a lot of promise, and yeah, I just wanted to be part of something that I really felt had the potential to grow, and I think Valor was the perfect place to come.
You know, you had a great spell when you were in Halifax. I always thought you were a decent little player. You've gone to Europe. You played five years now? You're over playing in Finland.
Four seasons.
And now you're coming back into the league. What's your expectations, and what do you feel that you're going to bring to this Valor side?
Yeah, I mean, I think the league has grown since I've been gone. I obviously have a lot of buddies still have played in the league, and I keep in touch with them. I watched a lot of games. So I think that the league's probably gotten better since the time that I was in here. So I am expecting it to be better. I also think so far, I've been here for a couple months now, I think that it's gotten for sure more professional than what I've experienced in the past. And in terms of what I can bring to the team, you know, I think I've always been kind of the same. Now I have just a bit more experience, but obviously a versatile player that brings a lot of energy and just a lot of, you know, a lot of pace, a lot of thinking in the game. And I'm just hoping that now 4 or 5 years back in the league later, that I can really help the team to do something special this year. And hopefully, you know, for the first time in this franchise's history, make the playoffs.
Okay. Now a little bit about yourself. Your father was an Olympic fencer. And Charms, not
Jimmy's whoa. Jimmy's been researching here. That scares me a little bit, first of all. That's some research.
I gotta raise my hat to Jimmy. That's well done.
I was very, very impressed. Now, how did it come about you playing football and not becoming a fencer like your father?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think the option was there all the time. Maybe I can find one, but he had me trying to fence as a baby. There's a picture of me barely able to walk, but I'm lunging with a wooden sword and everything. But I don't know. I don't know what happened, how I was able to persuade him. But at the end of the day, I think he just wanted me happy. And when I started kicking a ball around with him, he was able to quickly shift his focus and his love from fencing over to soccer. And he did his best to accept that. And he's been amazing allowing me to do that.
Do your family gatherings like usually end in some kind of fencing?
No. I guess fortunately for me, they don't. And I don't think there's too much love for that sport in the family anymore. Nobody really does it other than him. So yeah, I think he's just accepted it that we talk mostly about soccer now.
You know, I love stories, though, when players use the game to see the world, right? And you've done that. Sweden, Australia, Finland, now back home to Canada. Obviously, Finland and Sweden in particular, they're established football nations. I mean, obviously, Sweden is not so much perhaps Finland, but Australia as well, a burgeoning soccer nation. How would you compare Australia to Canada in its growth with the game?
Yeah, I think, Australia, there's been some new developments as of recently. I'm not sure if you guys have followed so much, but they are making like a national second league there. And I think that's like a big step for football in those countries, in that country at least. I think they have a long way to go. I think Canada is really, you know, even the States, I think they've really started to understand how to market it and how to get people at the games and how to really make it that professional environment that we're seeing so much in Europe and everything. I think Canada's really, really gotten good at that, you know, One Soccer, the CPL, I think they've done a great job. So I would say just like the professionalism and how they're treating the players and everything. And I think that's from what I experienced years ago in Australia, it really wasn't that professional environment that we're experiencing in the CPL today.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, isn't it, how the game is evolving around the world in so many ways. Back to Valor, though, like I said before, so many new faces, which is obviously a good thing. Do you feel that there's a chip on the shoulder of the club this season? And will that, do you think, benefit the club?
Yeah, I do. I do feel like there's a chip in the shoulder. And I feel like a lot of the guys on the team are, you know, guys that put their heads down and work hard. And I think, you know, I've been on teams like that before where there aren't so many egos and it's more just like, okay, let me just close my mouth here, roll up my sleeves and get to work. And I think those are really, really like annoying teams to play against, to be honest. And I think that we have the potential to be one of those teams and, you know, like you said, use that chip on our shoulder to do something special. I think a lot of the guys have that right mentality right now, and you can see it sort of in training. You've seen it in the preseason games, and now it's just about executing it when the season starts and the time, you know, when it actually means something, right? But I do feel like that mentality, the chip on the shoulder thing is definitely there, and I think it's definitely a force that we're going to have to use to our strength.
Well, Zach, it all kicks off this weekend. Good luck this weekend and throughout the season, of course. So we will definitely get you back on the show at some point.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zach. Great seeing you. All the best.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Ciao, ciao.
That was Valor's Zach Secunda. Well, Jimmy's stepping out, but in comes Craig Forrest once again. Craig, last but not least, we now talk about Wanderers. Yes, of Halifax. And man, good year last year. Third place in the table. Did really, really well. And some people are calling them a dark horse to win it all this year. It was interesting. We're joined now. Our final guest of the day, he's one of the top defenders in the CPL. It is Dan Nimick. Dan, welcome to Footy Prime. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, excited to be here.
So let me ask you, the term dark horse, people are saying that. Do you like that term for this club? Is it giving it enough respect or not enough respect?
No, yeah, I definitely like the term. I think with our performance last year in the league and the pieces that we've added during the off season, I think yeah, we're definitely a team to watch out for that regular season and to win the Shield too.
Dan, I mean, I know you spent quite a few years at Leeds United in your development there. But you seem to be a natural goal scorer. Did you ever try playing up front? Because you do nick a few goals. And where did that come from? And was that part of the developments? And is it just something you've always been comfortable with, attacking a diagonal ball?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that I'm grateful that I've been able to contribute during my time as a professional and also in college. It's not something specifically that I've worked on. I think I've just found myself in the right place and at the right time a lot of times. And yeah, obviously being on penalties last year helped with that too. So, yeah, really grateful.
Of course, that comes from a goalkeeper, right, Craig? You know, you just any excuse to get out there and play up front, right? Just everyone must want to play there, I suppose.
Listen, Dan, four goals.
It's much more fun, right? I mean, you were a standout though last year, Dan. It's an absolute standout, obviously. What is the biggest reason that your game has grown, evolved in the last couple of years?
I think it's definitely the coaching. Patrice and the coaching staff have definitely really worked with me on improving my game. And I think the style of play, with me being a ball playing center back and priding myself on a good passing range, I think the style of play we like to play really plays into that and helps me excel. And then also, obviously the players around me, I know everyone says that, but it's especially true here. The players around me, those experienced guys, really guiding me and helping me to perform. So I think all of that led to a good year last year, and hopefully we can build off it this year.
You know, we always talk about, certainly we do anyway, about the different fan bases across the country, and Halifax seem to have a really good setup there, and the fans are just excellent, and they show up in their droves. It's a big thing in Halifax, and it's, do you guys feel that support and feel that there's so much of a responsibility to try to win something for them?
Yeah, honestly, the support that we get at the grounds, it's incredible. Every player who's played here will talk about that. I think all you have to do is look at our away record last year and our home record last year. We're a different team at home, and a massive part of that is the fans pushing us on. Hopefully, we can bring that support to away games more this year and improve on that record. But yeah, it's definitely incredible, and it's amazing to step out at the grounds every game, and I'm excited for this season.
Do you find that traveling, exceptionally different than obviously when you were playing in England and for Haringey and whenever in Leeds, you're playing games that are 15 minutes away, a couple hours maybe, but you have one of the longest journeys in all of football, world football, when you look at Halifax to Victoria. Do you guys feel that when you're traveling, that the travel, it gets to you a little bit?
Definitely. I think everyone in the CPL is going to talk about the distances that we have to travel going all the way across Canada. I think the main struggle is adjusting to the time differences when we have to travel from East Coast to West Coast. For us, it's a 4-hour difference. So it's definitely difficult adjusting to that. But I mean, as players and professionals, it's something that we've got to deal with and be able to just adjust to. So that's something that we're going to work on as a team. Really try and perfect the travel schedule and get into the hotels at the right times, get into bed at the right times, and hopefully that ends up in a better away performance this year.
And the fact is, right, if Eastern Canada wants to get, you know, into the sports market, which it clearly does, you know, this is just going to be a challenge that, you know, you're going to have to face. Project 8 just announced that Halifax will have a team there in 2025, right? So football is alive and well in Halifax at this point. Can you talk about the match day experience there? We are going to be there at some point. We're going there, right? We've got the invite. We're going to show up there and do it up proper, I think, because it looks like, if not the greatest, but the biggest, one of the biggest matched experiences in CPL.
No, I definitely think it is. Obviously, that you've got the ultras and the fans that start downtown at the Pint or at, got the name of the place now. That's poor from me, but they start downtown.
You make play. That's fine.
They make the match to the game. There's a parade through downtown, the Wanderers Way, and yeah. So it's a full event, and then obviously the atmosphere of the game is, I think, unlike anything in the CPL. And yeah, when the weather's nice and the fans are out, it's unmatched in the CPL for sure.
some people might not know this, but you were born in Canada, and I think it was your mom and dad, where your dad was based in the Royal Air Force in Goose Bay, I believe, wasn't it? And you were born there, and you went back to England to Harrogate when you're about 1 year of age. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I was born in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Labrador. I think the RAF base is there, and that's about it. So I haven't been able to make my way back up there yet. But yeah, that's where I was born. My dad was with the RAF. Did a year there, and then yeah, as you said, grew up in England. And
now is he still with the RAF?
No, he retired. He retired quite a while ago. He's an engineer now. But yeah.
Do you spend your off seasons back in England, or do you stay in Canada?
I split time between England and my college in the States. My girlfriend's still there, so I split time between the States and back home in England with the family.
How was that experience in the university after spending that time in Leeds? You made the move into school and spent those years in the United States. How was that for your development? Was it a little, obviously, wasn't a shock to you because you probably played less games than you were used to?
Yeah. No, it was definitely took some adjusting. The style of football in Division One soccer in the States is completely different to anything in Europe and even in Canada. I think it's a very physical game. There's endless subs, so guys just run around the pitch all the whole time. So it definitely takes some adjusting, but yeah, once I'd adjusted, I really enjoyed my time there, and it definitely developed me in a lot of different ways and prepared me for the pro game.
Listen, Dan, thanks so much for this. A huge season coming for Halifax, and I think a lot of neutrals out there would love to see Halifax make some noise again this season. Just a great success story so far, and fingers crossed the next couple of years there'll be some big movement with the stadium and the new stadium. Not that yours right now is anything wrong with it, but it's a great story in itself. But obviously there's a lot of ambition there to grow that brand in Halifax. So Dan, good luck for everything this weekend and throughout the season, and I hope to have you back on Footy Prime at some point.
For sure. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
That is Dan Nimick from Wanderers. And that is it. We've got through all eight teams, Craig, today. We've had a great chat with eight players from their respective teams. And I tell you, there's great personalities in this league. And the game's growing. The quality's getting better every year as well. I think it was really highlighted last year, right, by that final. At least the final, 25 minutes anyway, which is just ridiculous.
That's true.
It gave the league those sense to say, hey, yeah, that's ours, right?
Yeah.
And to talk to the guys today and look ahead to the weekend and what the season might bring, you know, amidst all the nonsense in the game in this country, there's some really good stuff happening as well. And we're seeing it in the CPL.
Yeah, sometimes we have to remind ourselves as to how far we've actually come, and it has been slow, and we like it to move a little bit faster sometimes, but it is really promising, and it's good to see. And I think with these guys, I mean, one thing, you know, I'm watching these CPL games during the season, but I don't know them. You know, I don't know their characters. I don't know where they're, you know, their stories, and they have great stories. And I think they're, you know, the human interest stories that I think people want to hear from them and hear where they come from and what their ambitions are and things like that. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So learned a lot about them, and I've got eight favorite teams now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Exactly. We will endeavor though throughout the season to bring these guys on to our show and to talk to them and discover these personalities. I'm with you. Some great, great stories. There really are. I'm going to pick in the spot now, Craig, right? Who's going to win it this year? Is there a clear-cut favorite for you? It's tough, right? I mean, I like what Ottawa's done a lot, obviously. They've been the story of the offseason, but how can you rule out Forge and Calgary once again?
Well, Forge are a dynasty. We have to say that. They've been absolutely brilliant, and Calgary have been right there with them, and they've been the two most successful clubs and most probably competitive at the top of the table. And as now other sides are pushing the envelope here into trying to challenge them, and I think it's going to be a really interesting season. And with the playoff format, we really like it. I think it sets up really well for somebody else to come in there. I mean, you look at what we've talked to today, and these guys, they've all got pretty high hopes of the season, so it'll be very interesting to see where all the chips lie.
Always hope, right, this time of the year, no matter where you are, who you play for. And as you say, Craig, it's hope that kills you, yeah. Isn't it?
It's the hope.
But listen, we want to thank our guest today, Garvin Matusala. That seems like a long time ago now, but he was fantastic. Nate Ingham, of course, returning to Footy Prime for the umpteenth time. Well, I think it's like three times, but still, Nate's always absolutely brilliant. Austin Ritchie, yeah. Really interesting guy there as well, returning from some real knee issues the last 2 or 3 years. Yeah, we have Callum Irving, of course. Yeah, Callum Irving, who's done mm-hmm. all really well in this league.
Yeah, Charlie, he's 31, Trafford. And he's one of the only guys who remembers me playing, so we can keep talking to Callum. When
it's so funny when I speak to young players now, because they're all young now, and they say, yeah, I remember Craig from Sportsnet. But that's
remember Ali. You asked Ali if he Ahmed at Vancouver White House if he remembered me, and it's like he was born in 2000 after the Gold Cup.
It's like, hey man, there's YouTube. There's YouTube. You can catch Craig's highlights for sure.
Yeah, some black and white footage. Yeah.
Charlie Trafford joined us. Derek Donata. Huge fan of darts. Jimmy enjoyed that one, by the way. We've got a match set up between Daryl and Jimmy when we head out to Pacific this year.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy was talking a big game once again.
He's a built-in dart we'll see. Board. We'll see.
Zach Secunda was great as well. He's just a tandem, though. So that is, I'm not sure how long this is going to be cut down to. I don't know. If you've done it in an hour, that's success. That's brilliant. But thank you to everyone. Enjoy the CPL. It kicks off this weekend. Make sure you watch, you follow. We'll cover it throughout the season as well here on Footy Prime. So until next time, cheers for listening. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Boom, done.
Nice.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.